When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The Department of Justice Special Counsel Jack Smith came out with another indictment, this time having to do with January 6th. The Federalist noted that Donald Trump has now been charged with more than 75 crimes, and many of them from the Department of Justice. More than 75 crimes. He's probably going to be indicted out of Georgia, it looks like, as well. What does this all mean? And what does this mean for Donald Trump? What does this mean for the country as the people who try to get him are destroying the country in the process? We're going to talk to Kurt Schlichter, who's a columnist for Town Hall. He's also a former Army veteran and attorney. We're going to get his take on all of this. So what does it mean? Kurt is next. Stay with us. Kurt, it's great to have you on, my friend. First time on the show, so I appreciate you making the time.
Thank you for having me. It's a lot of fun.
Well, hopefully you still feel that way when we're done.
No, Kurt, let's talk about how you suck. Oh, wait, this isn't social media.
It's a little premature, Kurt. You know, we're just getting started. All right, well, we'll jump into it for real. So, you know, obviously a lot's happened. So Donald Trump has now been charged, I think, with more than 75 crimes at this point, you know, many of them from the Department of Justice. This latest indictment from Jack Smith, the Department of Justice's special counsel. You know, what's he alleging in this latest indictment that Trump did?
Well, you know, I read the 45-page complaint, and then I read it again because I thought I might have missed something. I wasn't. I missed the crime. Apparently, it's now a conspiracy to say something that has been decreed not to be true. And there's this thing called the First Amendment where you're allowed to do that. And you know, procedurally, what they're accusing about aren't crimes. Substantively, the defense in a fraud claim would be whether you believe something or not. So he would have that argument because I have no doubt he believed what Linwood and Sidney Powell were telling him about the soon-to-be-released Kraken. It's a farce and a scam. It's total garbage. All the allegations in all the indictments against Donald Trump are garbage. It's all crap. There's not a single bit. And I get exhausted by some conservatives. But, well, we need to see how the system plays out. There is no system. Okay, there's no justice system when it comes to political cases. And we've seen that again and again. There are two tracks of justice, which means there are no tracks of justice. Everything that they've charged him with is completely illegitimate. It is also substantively garbage. I'm not a Trump supporter in the primary. I'd like to see Ron DeSantis nominated because I think he can win in the general election. But the simple fact is, this is an outrageous and disgusting attack on a political opponent. And it is going to change our country for the worse.
And it might be a little bit more believable if they hadn't have been throwing everything they can at him since day one. You know, it's just like it is so blatant. And then now multiple indictments from multiple cities and multiple, you know, it's like.
And all Democrat Soros guys.
Yeah, like it'd be a little bit more believable if they just tried to hit him with one. It's just this onslaught just really underscores and paints the picture of just blatant political bias and weaponization of government.
That's true. And it's the thing is, this is. This is earth shattering. This is an asteroid hitting the earth 10 years ago, utterly incomprehensible. Now we're actually dealing with it. And the damage that these guys have done for the short term advantage of trying to manipulate the election by charging Trump, which is what they're trying to do. And what they want to do is manipulate the Republicans into nominating them and manipulate people in the general to not vote for him. But they also want to send a message to the rest of us that this isn't your country. You don't have a say. You're a serf. We're going to disenfranchise you. And if you dare oppose us, we're going to take everything you ever owned, including your freedom.
So you think the intention is to get Donald Trump nominated?
I think that's one of the intentions. They also want revenge. They also want to send a message. This fulfills a lot of roles. And, you know, it further cements the total destruction of our institutions. You know, our institutions have stopped doing what institutions are supposed to do and become purely instruments of maintaining power for a garbage elite. It's really hard to overestimate the potential damage to our society. I look back at Roman history. I remember Caesar crossed the Rubicon because they were declaring lawfare on him. What's going to happen here? People are going to fight back. They're going to fight back using whatever power they have. And it could be pretty.
And Smith's alleging that Trump's claims about the 2020 election were false, that he knew they were false. But how do you prove that? There's voter fraud in every election, without a doubt. I do believe that Donald Trump legitimately felt like there was voter fraud. Now, were things maybe played up to get money and, you know, like by certain people? Like, sure. What do you make of that? Like, how does he prove that Trump knew the claims were false?
Well, first step is you're allowed to say things people don't think are true. You're allowed under the First Amendment to go out and tell everybody that this election was garbage. Now, other people may have evidence that it was not. But that doesn't matter. Even if you know it's a giant lie and you're attempting to manipulate people to get political advantage, you're allowed to do that because it's the First Amendment. You can do that. So even if he did all this, that's protected First Amendment activity. How do you prove it? Oh, I assume what he's going to do is find various incidents of people saying, well, I told Donald Trump it wasn't true. You know, although he had other lawyers telling him it was true. And what they're effectively trying to do is establish an official truth. That is, you cannot possibly hold an opinion that is contrary to what the elite has said. The elite said this is a perfectly fine election. It is a crime to think otherwise. And look how that all applied to other things. What happens when there becomes an official truth about climate change, about gender? Why wouldn't there? Why could I not file a indictment under 18 United States Code 241 via conspiracy to violate rights about people opposing climate change? What right? Well, your right to be alive, because this was your right to vote. Why couldn't I do that? Because, you know, Lisa, 97% of scientists agree. So now we're having courts define official truth. Well, gosh, what do you think the official truth's going to be? I'm thinking it's going to be exactly what our garbage ruling class wants it to be. And that's what they want.
And that's really the direction that this is. I mean, we saw this during COVID, right? You know, and the sad thing is that you have willing participants with you know, big tech or the media going along with this to create an official truth. And when we lose the First Amendment, when you lose the Second Amendment, we no longer have a country. And we're really, you know, that's what Jonathan Turley said all about this. He noted on Twitter, he said, if you take a red pen to all the material presumptively protected by the First Amendment, you can reduce much of the indictment to a haiku, making the point that you're making that this is really an attack on the First Amendment. You know, we've really seen this for quite some time now.
The problem with criminal cases, look, I do mostly civil litigation, okay? If this was a civil suit, I would do a Rule 12b6 motion to dismiss and say, Your Honor, assuming everything in this complaint is factually true, because on a motion to dismiss, you have to assume that, they are still not entitled to relief because what they're talking about violates no law. It is not unlawful to express your thoughts and push an unofficial truth. And I could have that heard, and I could attempt to appeal it, maybe even during the case, though that's discretionary. Criminal cases, it'll go to the judge. Judge will deny a motion to dismiss, and you've got no chance to take it up. Your next stop is the trial. And then after the trial, you can appeal it, like Bob O'Donnell did, the Virginia governor, after Jack Smith convicted him. And it eventually was appealed up to the Supreme Court. 9-0, they threw it out because Smith did what he's doing here, which is taking a law and bending and expanding and stretching it to cover conduct that was never intended to cover and shouldn't have covered. So there's a saying among criminals and cops, you might be able to beat the rap, but you can't beat the ride. And the ride here is putting them through the justice system, forcing them to spend money and time and focus and effort and emotion on defending these bogus criminal charges in which they're trying to frame him. And, you know, whether he gets convicted or not, the damage is still done.
Let's take a quick commercial break. More with Kurt on the other side.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
There's not charges, at least yet, that include, you know, incitement to violence on January 6th. Do you think there are more charges in this arena that are to come? Are they trying to get people to flip right now? And
I'm sure, because there are going to be other revelations about the Bidens and their garbage corruption, which is actually real. So look for a superseding indictment after, you know, there's a videotape of the big guy saying, where's my 10%? And the next day, we'll see a superseding indictment Donald Trump is guilty of sedition, whatever the hell that means.
Well, that's what's pretty wild, because if you do look at the Hunter Biden stuff and the Biden stuff, it's like this guy, Greg Price, posted this timeline on Twitter. It's like June 7th, FBI releases documents to Congress alleging the Bidens took a $10 million bribe from Burisma. Next day, June 8th, Jack Smith indicts Trump Mar-a-Lago case. And then you go to July 26th, Hunter Biden goes to court, rejects the sweetheart deal. July 27th, Jack Smith adds more charges for Trump in the Mar-a-Lago case. And then, you know, you continue. July 31st, Hunter Biden's former business partner, you know, testifies before Congress about Joe Biden. Then August 1st, Jack Smith, you know, indicts him on January 6th. So they're not even really trying to hide this timeline either, that, like, you know, it's like they're not even trying to hide anything anymore, Kurt.
Lisa, they want us to know it. This is a message. We can do anything we want because we hold these institutions. They want us to know. They're not ashamed of it. They want us to know about it. Now, I think it's very, very short-sighted, because right now our culture is kind of running on fumes back when we had a real republic. Folks like us, we're beyond the hypocrisy thing. You know, it'd be totally unbased if you and I were like, well, imagine if this was Donald Trump Jr. Okay, that's, we're past that. We've accepted the hypocrisy. Normal people who don't do this 24/7, it demonstrates their power. But the normal people haven't woke up. They still give some credit. There are people out there going, well, my gosh, it is troubling that he's been charged. I mean, they couldn't charge him for nothing. They couldn't invent charges and try and frame the president. Why, that would never happen. But you and I are like, yeah, that's totally happening. And more people are seeing it, and more people are going to get based, and more the anger is going to build up, because this is unsustainable. Can you imagine 100 years of this? 100 years of normal Americans living under the Birkenstocks, pressed against their face by these petty fascists? Yes, your children will be mutilated to conform to bizarre delusions. Yes, you will disarm. Yes, you will have no say in your government. Yes, your sons and daughters will go fight in Ukraine. History is full of revolts, rebellions, and backlash. And it's going to take a while, because most Americans are used to thinking of America as a free country with generally squared away institutions. That's demonstrably not so right now. But people will get aware of it and they will act.
But do you really think that the rest of America will wake up? Because, I mean, a lot of the media is not covering the Biden stuff. I mean, the good thing about the judge rejecting the plea deal for Hunter Biden was that it forced mainstream media to cover it. So how will they wake up, though, if they're not hearing about it?
Over time, they will experience things. We had a massive wake up during COVID when, you know, wear your mask everywhere, take this vaccine that's going to protect you from the virus, except it doesn't. And their kids are staying home from school, and suddenly they're seeing, you know, the pride flag lessons. And, you know, experience wakes people up. Pain wakes people up. It's not going to happen fast, but it's happening. More and more people are feeling it. More and more people are getting angry. And then it becomes a question of how the backlash manifests. Is it a backlash at the ballot box? Is it an American Franco? You know, I don't know what the answer is. I do know the answer is normal Americans aren't going to go, well, you know, living in a republic with democratic principles was fun, but I guess I'm a serf. I just don't see it happening.
It sounds hyperbolic, but I don't know what would happen after this election, though. Like, because we already saw such intervention in the previous presidential elections from the Department of Justice and the FBI, which really begs the question, have they always been meddling in elections and we're just now kind of finding out and waking up to it? And then, but beyond that, you know, look, we saw Joe Biden take the stage in Pennsylvania before the midterms and essentially label 75 million Americans as enemies of the state with the military behind them, you know, and like a red backdrop looking like, you know, like
a V for Vendetta.
An authoritarian that he is. Yeah, like really paints a picture. But like, isn't that what's happening? And isn't that what's going to happen if we lose this election? Do we lose the opportunity to take back our power in, you know, the most peaceful and in the best way after this election?
No, there is still the possibility of electoral victory. It's just got to be massive. I was speaking, I'm here in Dallas. I was speaking to a bunch of Republicans yesterday. Very interesting, by the way. I was very open about my position on Ron DeSantis. And out of 200 people, not a single one stood up and said, you need to support Trump. We need to be loyal. Not Donald Trump's name was never mentioned to me. I thought it was very interesting, very different from the social media world. But in any case, we had that same question, you know, what do we do? And, you know, we have to win beyond the margin of fraud. It is, you know, hard to fake an election when it isn't close. And we're just going to have to do the hard work of convincing people. There is the possibility that these people, our ruling class, who are dumb, these are let's understand our enemies, Lisa. These are unaccomplished people. These are cultural trust fund babies. They inherited America's institutions. They certainly didn't build them. They're like the third generation. You know, you look at the...
But they've successfully taken them over, though.
They inherited them.
So you got to give them credit for that.
Well, they've inherited and filled them with people like them with their fake credentials. You look at somebody like Henry Ford, a guy with a lot of issues, but he, you know, he invented the 8-hour day. He invented the assembly line. Then the second generation of Fords that built the Mustang, made this giant corporation. Who's the third generation of Fords? What have they done? Got busted for drugs? I mean, and that's the equivalent of our ruling class. We have one class that beat the Nazis and beat the Depression. Another that put a man on the moon. This ruling class is given as grinder and pronouns. Okay? These are not accomplished, smart people. They didn't build this stuff. They are unaware of history. They are deliberately ignorant because our educational system is not about transferring knowledge, but rather transferring cultural and social cachet and credentials. And these are not, as far as oppression goes, yeah, they can manifest pretty well persecuting a few thousand people for thought crimes. But what do they do when an entire state like Texas says, we're done playing, we're not doing any of that? What do? Turn to the military? Well, the generals would be all for it because the generals are garbage. But I'm not sure that the troops would be real happy about going and hurting their friends and family.
So I'm a little disheartened about the 2024 election because...
Just a little?
I love DeSantis and, you know, I know him and I know that he would be a very effective president. And I say effective, like, look, Trump did a great job. I'm not going to discount that. But I say effective in the sense of DeSantis is more disciplined and I believe would get the job done in a more meaningful and long lasting way than like the executive orders and those things that have already been overturned with Joe Biden being in office. But that being said, I don't know if he has the juice as a candidate to win the nomination. And then if he can't win the nomination, how do you win a general election if you can't convince your own people to vote for you? And then I do think that Trump's a better candidate. But I worry in a general election, he turns more people out against him than for him. And so we're sort of in this predicament where, you know, if you had someone like Trump as a candidate with DeSantis's effectiveness, we'd crush it. But that's not where we are. And so I don't know. I worry about our ability to win in a general election, despite the fact that Joe Biden is essentially a weekend at Bernie's president. But, you know, but then we also know that they have everything behind them and the systems behind them. So I don't know. I'm worried about what happens this cycle for us. And I worry about what happens if we don't win.
I agree. I agree with almost everything you said. I think Donald Trump is very weak in the general election because for irrational reasons. There are about 53% of Americans who will just never vote for him. Okay. It's like, yeah, he's a good president. Yeah. He kept us out of war. Yeah. The economy was great. But, you know, he called Rosie O'Donnell horseface on Twitter. And I just can't deal with that.
That was Mika Brzezinski.
Yeah. Mika Brzezinski.
The Rosie O'Donnell thing was when that was actually like probably one of the best responses ever. Megyn Kelly, who I actually really love and respect, but she was asking about his comments on women. And then Trump was like, only Rosie O'Donnell, but which was actually a pretty epic response.
Look, you and I think
so Mika Brzezinski's the horse face. Just
we have to accept the fact that a majority of Americans just hate this guy and they're never going to vote for him. I think Ron DeSantis would have a chance. I think Ron DeSantis is proven effective. Look, he turned a purple state into a red state. That's important. But yeah, I mean, he's got to win this election. We're 5 months out. He's got about a fifth of the electorate wrapped up. The know-nothings have, the also-rans, the Tim Scotts and Nikki Haley's and Asa Hutchinson's have about another 20-25% among them. Trump, between 45-55%. But that's today. Remember, there's a lot of people who are not paying attention to this 5 months out in the middle of August. You know, they're out fishing or, taking their kids to soccer or doing other things. And they say, who do you support? Well, I guess I support Trump. The people who are active tend to support DeSantis. And I think as time goes by, people will suddenly have to think about it and start making some tactical decisions like you were talking about. Can this guy win? I like Trump. Look, I like Trump. I wrote a book defending Trump. It's nothing personal. You know, to me, candidates are fungible. Okay, one is to say, you know, I'm not loyal to any of them. I demand they be loyal to me. If Trump can't get it done, then I want the guy I think can. And I think the guy who can is DeSantis. He's got to stay alive right now. He needs to build his infrastructure, needs to keep getting money. I think he's doing a good job getting himself out there. I think this Newsom debate's going to be interesting. But he's got to win in Iowa and New Hampshire. He's got to go in Iowa and New Hampshire and win that. At that point, I think people take a close look at him. That's really his only strategy. Trump is a weak candidate because he's only at about half of the party. You know, only half the party supports him. And while that's a lot more than the other nine guys, that's not good. That's actively bad. That being said, I'm going to vote for the nominee of the Republican Party. If it is Donald Trump, I will support him wholeheartedly and genuinely. If it's H. Hutchinson, I'll be very surprised. I think it's a two-man race. And
I might sit that one out if it's Ace.
I keep saying Ace. What's his butt? Who's his running mate? Zebediah.
I might pass on the guy that, you know, is okay with the mutilation might pass on that. You know, I wonder too, you know, obviously as conservatives, we know what they're doing, right? And they know that we know what they're doing, right? But I you know, if you look at some polling, I think there was like an ABC poll I saw on Twitter before we were talking, and then after the New York, I mean, the rest of America, they're for these indictments. So they're not saying, I mean, I hope they wake up because, you know, regardless if it's Donald Trump or who it is, the weaponization of government ends up, we're all going to bear the consequences of it, right? And so,
yeah, well, they're defaulting to old America, where if the Justice Department indicted someone, there's a pretty good chance he did something wrong, you know? But that's not what America is now. Our ruling class is gliding on fumes, is feeding off the corpse of a country that has died. But we can bring the country back. We just need to win the election. And Trump is not going to have the money. He is he's got to thread the needle in every single swing state. He did in 2016. He defied all the odds. You know, hey, he had a miracle once. He'll have one again. It's not a great argument.
But then to that point, you know, he also has such name ID that does he even have to put in the work that some of these other, you know what I mean? Like he's almost polling to some degree as an incumbent. So it's like, I don't know. I go back and forth in my head in a lot of these arguments of Victor Davis Hanson had a good piece recently about just like no one the hell knows. You know what I mean? Like there's so many variables, you know, like it's like there's so many. How does one human face multiple indictments, in criminal indictments in multiple cities as a human? I mean, what toll does that take on a person?
Well, frankly, I think there's nobody who's better suited to putting up with it than a guy like Donald Trump. However, it is going to take a toll. It's going to take a toll on his time, his emotion, his focus, which is part of the plan. Will people look, a lot of conservatives have rallied to them, and I fully understand that. Trump is a giant middle finger to bad people. The problem is, as much fun it is to flip people off, I prefer the joy of victory. And I don't believe in a gracious defeat or glorious defeat. I just want to win. And I think there are other people who disagree. Remember, you know, folks like you and I have been involved in politics for a long time. Trump brought in a lot of people who haven't been. They brought in a lot of people who came into politics simply because of Trump. So Trump is their North Star. He's their lodestar. He is the point of the politics. The point for people like you and me, it's to win. And, you know, if it's not this politician, it's the next one. That's not what they're thinking. They're there for Trump. And some of them have a quasi-religious belief in him. I mean, gosh, if you look at some of the embarrassing memes of, super macho, jacked Trump without a shirt and a machine gun, and he's riding a dragon, and it's not ironic. There are people who adore this guy, and I don't think we can count on them as part of the Republican coalition unless Trump's at the top of the ticket. What we've got to focus on are a lot of suburban people who are frankly soft, who are very concerned about Trump's very concerned about mean tweets. And I think there are more of those, and I think they can be won back. I don't think, we lost the suburbs. We lost those kind of soft Republicans. And I think they are there for the taking because Biden's been so terrible about everything. But we're not going to take it back if we put up the guy who they hate.
Quick break, more on this Trump insanity.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
Do you think there's ever going to be accountability for the Bidens?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think there is. I think I'm more concerned, and that annoys me. But I'm more concerned with systemic accountability, holding the institutions. I don't think we, Biden is certainly going to be impeached, and he should be. He will escape, but we'll be able to show his corruption. And the reason to do that is not to prosecute this 80-year-old senile moron. It is to demonstrate the corruption of our institutions. And it's the institutions I care about. I want them torn down, gutted, and rebuilt in an image befitting America, starting with the military, which needs to be the first institution that suffers a radical rebuild. And frankly, it should be, because as a hierarchical organization, it's relatively easy to reorient it quickly, establish a massive victory early on, and use it as a template for other agencies like the DOJ, et cetera. So as much as I'd like personal accountability for Biden and his meth head son, I'm really interested in institutional accountability. I want to break these institutions and reorient them in a way where they support America rather than the interests of our garbage ruling class.
Is it possible to change the system, though? I mean, it seems today, though, that the system, the deep state, the bureaucratic state, whatever you want to call it, has more power than the president. And then also, I mean, you can go back and, you know, Ron Paul, who I've had on a couple of times, you know, has been right about like basically everything. I feel bad for ever thinking he was kind of off the reservation. I mean, the guy's been, he's like nailed it. He was just early warning us about everything. But, you know, he was talking about, you know, back in the 1980s that the FBI's sole purpose was to spy on Americans. So it's like, we're talking about reforming institutions that when the deck has been probably stacked against us for, you know, forever.
What you need to do is what DeSantis has done in Florida, which is unashamedly use your executive power. We assume we win in 2024. Step one, you fire Chris Wray. Step two, you tell the FBI, I am ordering you as the president to not expend any time, resources, money, or effort on investigating anyone within my administration without my express permission. If you do, you're misusing government funds. We will prosecute you. You know, you get a new attorney general in there. The attorney general says, hey, after the pardons of all the J6 people and all the other Republicans, including Trump, who've been caught up in this garbage, all prosecutions that might be politically oriented must have my signature. They do not go through. There's no independence here. I am running the DOJ. I am running the Pentagon. I am running the FBI. I was elected president. It all comes through me. I'm not going to let you do these things. If you misuse government money by doing something I've ordered you not to, I'm going to arrest you and I'm going to put you in jail. And you simply refuse to let them act. And that is a real problem for them, because Donald Trump at his core respected institutions. He respected academia. You know how he always talks about, oh, it's very impressive, went to Harvard, blah, blah, blah. If you're based, you know that going to Harvard is not a sell, okay? It's not a good point. That is a bad thing, but he respected institutions. He still calls Maggie Haberman. Hey, Maggie, how's it going? Let's chat, because he cares what the New York Times thinks. You've got to hate these institutions, what these institutions have become. You've got to use your power to neuter them and make it so they cannot do the things that they want to do. And you have to be ruthless and unashamed about it. You know, I mean, you can imagine the New York Times running an article, Trump refuses to allow his investigations of his own administration. And you have to say yes, because their proven track record of perjury, fraud, and framing people, they have lost the respect of the American people who elected me, and I am not going to allow them to do this to anyone else in my administration. I am the chief executive. I must personally sign off on any investigation of any member of the executive branch, period. And I don't care if you don't like it. And that kind of screws them.
No, I agree with that. I think the media stuff might just be because they used to love him. So he's like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't know, like a scorned like lover type thing. You know, we were like, what happened? You know, like, I don't know. Kurt, is there anything else you want to leave us with before we go?
I'm hopeful. I have a remarkable amount of faith in the American people, despite some of their recent decision making. I think we're going to have the Republican Party take this election very seriously. I think they're going to look very carefully at who is going to be able to win in the general election. And I suspect they will pick a candidate to do that. And doing that does not mean you hate Donald Trump. I don't hate Donald Trump. I'm grateful for Donald Trump. I think he was a largely good but imperfect president. But I don't care about Donald Trump in the sense that his feelings are a matter of utter indifference to me. I understand that the election in 2020 was rigged between fraud and changed rules and institutional thumbs on the scale. I don't care that he feels bad about it and thinks he was wronged. That it's true, but it's irrelevant. And I think I think the Republican Party is going to nominate someone with a good shot at winning the election. Unfortunately, I think they're going to have to go up against Gavin Newsom because I don't think the Democrats are going to run that dust puppet who's currently occupying the Oval Office. But I do think that we have a good chance of winning. And I think if we nominate the right person, we will be able to do some massive changes to these institutions. So I'm optimistic.
I've heard people throw Michelle Obama's name around, so I certainly hope that doesn't happen.
Now, she's lazy. Did you read the interview by Obama's biographer? It just came out. It's devastating. This guy, he's essentially lazy. He's essentially a guy who wants to enjoy his privilege, and his wife is the same way. I don't think she wants to be president. I think she wants to be on yachts with her friends. And I'm glad about that because there are a lot of stupid people who would vote for Michelle Obama because they've seen her on TV. And I think it's more likely that we'll see Newsom. I'm totally counting out Kamala because she's just terrible and even the Democrat thing. She is a dumb, dumb lady. She is just unaccomplished. I mean, well, she dated Montel Williams, which I can't even deal with that. Look, I'm always going to be optimistic for America. I know that's kind of sunny and Reagan-y, but the alternative is to be totally black-pilled, depressed, and suicidal, and I refuse to do that. If I'm going out, I'm going out on a pile of brass. I will never give up the fight. I will never become a serf. If we don't win today, then we got to win tomorrow, and I want to win in 2024.
Well, I do, too. I mean, we have to. Kurt, thanks so much for taking the time for joining the show. I appreciate it. Nice to catch up with you and have you on.
Thanks for having me.
That was Kurt Schlichter. I appreciate him taking the time for joining the show. Appreciate you guys for listening, as always. Want to thank John Cassio, my producer, for putting the show together every Monday, Thursday, but you can listen to it throughout the week. Feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Love reading those. Till next time.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.